Okay, welcome back to Rambam Yomi. We are now in the fifth parak of Chilos of Avodah Zarah in the Rambam, and what we are focusing on today is really an extension of what took place in the last parak, which is about Yerei Dachas. If you remember, Yerei Dachas is not only about a majority. I think we're often taught that Yerei Dachas is about a majority of the community that goes and does Avodah Zarah. Obviously, we learned that there are a lot more restrictions that come along with that. It's not just that the majority, there has to be a lot of other criteria met in order for it to actually be in Yerei Dachas. But in addition, one of those criteria is specifically that two individuals will come and convince the community to do this and encourage them, and then they actually follow on their ways, etc. Right? But if they did it on their own, it actually wouldn't be viewed as Yerei Dachas. So, if it was one individual who came and tried to be to encourage them to do that, them, so then it also wouldn't be on Yerei Dachas. So we're going to see here that the psukim in Devarim, if you want to take a look, Devarim Yud Gimel. Psukim Beis until Yud Beis, talk about an individual, what we're going to see actually, what we're going to be focusing on in this parak, where it's not an Yerei Dachas. It's a similar model of someone going to convince others to do Avodah Zarah, but it's not directly it's not an Yerei Dachas, and we'll see why. But in this parak, the Rambam is talking about six additional mitzvos. Last story, we also this is six additional mitzvos, and these are all actually one after the other, which is, makes sense because they're all coming from the same psukim right after each other in Devarim. So these are all the negative commandments 16 through 21. Okay, so these are the lo tases from 16 to 21. If you want to look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then we'll just list them out here before we get into the parak. One is not to persuade a single individual to worship an Avodah Zarah. Okay, so again, you see already that there's some comparison between that and an Yerei Dachas, where they're convincing an entire city. Here it's talking about a single individual. Not to love a Mesit. Okay, we'll learn that, and we're going to use this terminology. A Mesit is someone who does go ahead and proselytize on behalf of an Avodah Zarah. So that's a Mesit. We'll see why that's different than a Madiach, where we were referring to in the last parak of Madiach. We're going to see that in the second halacha here. Okay, the third low test is, again, so not to persuade, don't be a Mesit, basically. Don't persuade a single individual to do this. Don't now this is for everyone else. Don't love that Mesit. That's the second halacha. The second mitzvah, the third mitzvah, number 18, right? Don't lose your hatred towards that individual, meaning don't, like, okay, it's not a big deal, and I hate that individual, you should hate that person. Number 19 is, don't save that person's life. Okay, number 20, okay, these are all, this is, again, remember, it's 16 through 21. So the lotase number 20 is not to bring any arguments on behalf of this individual. Don't try to bring an argument on their behalf. And number 21 is not to basically withhold any information that might get this person convicted. Don't not report this individual to the authorities, essentially. Okay, so what are we talking about? Hamesed echad miYisrael. Let's say someone tries to convince one person from Yisrael, whether that's a ben isha, whether it's a man or a woman. Hare ze niskal, they get skilo. Alvi shalo avon hamesed velo hamusas. Okay, so those terminology are going to be important. The mesed is the individual who's trying to convince someone to do Avodah Zarah, and the musad is the receiver of that convincing. Okay, avodas mechavim velo amusas avodas mechavim elam nation who rahu la'avur. So the person who is being the mesit, the giver over of this convincing argument, is going to get sila, going to get stoning, whether or not either the mesit or the musat actually do avodas mechavim. Even if they don't do any avodas zara, they since they attempted to do this, they get stoned. Bein shehaya hameisis hedyot, bein shehaya navi, bein shehaya musas yachid ish o isha o yachidim misaso viskila, says the Rambam. This does not matter. We had so many different qualifications when it comes to Yerei Dachas. There, you're going to see here that we're actually saying, let's cut away some of those qualifications. It doesn't matter whether the person who's being the meisit is a regular person or they're a prophet. And it also doesn't matter whether the individual that is receiving the encouragement or the convincing argument is one individual or many people, or whether that one individual is a man or a woman, as I said before. So basically, it's all encompassing. And this mesit would get a stone for this attempt. Good. Again, remember, even if no one did avodah zarah, simply the attempt to convince someone is already worthy of stoning. Halacha beis. Hamesis as rovan she'air hariz a madiach ve'enu nikra mesis. So we said last parak all these things about a madiach, someone who's trying to convince the entire community to go and do avodah zara. So says the Rambam, let's define our terms. A mesis is somebody who does this for individuals, smaller groups of people. Right? But if they're going after the entire community and they're convincing an entire city, or again we said, or a majority of an entire city, that's called a madiach, and they're no longer called a mesid. Okay? So it's the same action, it's just depending on what the population looks like when they're talking. Okay, good. So we said this already in the last halacha. Until there are two individuals coming along to convince the entire city, it can't be one person. If it's one person who's like a Navi and everyone's following this Navi and they're all going in that direction, so we don't treat that, even if it's the entire city or even if it's majority city, and we saw this in the last parak already, so we don't treat that entire city as an Iri Daras anymore, even if it qualifies in all other ways, but there's only one Madiach. It doesn't, that's not good enough. You need two madichim in order for it to be, two people trying to make the convincing argument in order for it to be considered to be an Eri Da'aras. Otherwise, you treat them all as yechidim. Ah, they did Avodah Zarah? Okay, good. So you get punished like Avodah Zarah. What's the major difference? What's the major difference? The major difference is that their property is not burnt in the middle of the city, in the main street, but rather it's given over to the next, as we pointed out in the last parak. The Echad HaOmer Amra Li Avodah Zechavim Evduha. What happens if some individual says that the Avodah Zarah told me, right? Meaning not that they're coming to try to make this convincing argument, but they're saying, Amra Li, Avodah Zechavim Evduha, right? Amra Li, the Avodah Zechavim told me Evduha to serve it. Oh, Shomer, Amra Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Evdu Avodah Zechavim. Then it becomes a Navi Sheidia. And if, because of that, the entire, most of the city follows in his ways, so then he should be stoned to death. In other words, we're treating this person especially, different in this case, because of the fact that he's quoting on behalf of either an Avodah Zarah told him to say this, or God told him to say this. Then it becomes like a Navi Sheker. And we talked about Nevuah and how Nevuah, clearly the Rosh Hashanah would never tell anybody, any Navi to serve in Avodah Zarah, anyone, even if they're the most pious individual and they fall into all the qualifications, if you remember all the qualifications of being a Navi, even if they follow all those qualifications, doesn't matter. If it's about Avodah Zarah, it's a Navi Sheker. In this case, it's a Navi Sheidiyach, V'mu'utchvach, HaRab V'ba'ir, Niskal, and if the majority of the city follows in his ways, he gets skila. But an individual, now that's not a mediach anymore, a mesis, one individual, even if they go after individuals or if they're in, if they say plurally, right? Remember, and then they get skila just from that alone. Remember, when it comes to a city, if they're talking about, they have to talk in the majority format. That's one of the qualifications of making it in Eri Dachas. Good. Okay, so what are we talking about? Says the Rambam, what if the person says, I am going to serve this Avodah Zechavim? Right? With the implicit, join, follow along with me. Or Eilech V'Avod, right? Or I'm going to go and serve, right? Or, right, so one is, I'm going to serve this Avodah Zechavim. I'm going to go and serve. Or let's go, Nelech Vinavo, let's go together, Vinavo, Avodah Plonitz, in this specific way, that this is the way that Avodah Zechavim is served, right? Or Ezbach, Elech, Ezbach, Nelech, Ezbach, right? Elech, Ezbach, or Nelech, Vinizbach, same thing. Akater, Elech, Vinakater, Nelech, Vinakater, Anasech, Elech, Vinasech, Nelech, Vinasech, right? Eshtachava, so all these are cases of amazes, and it goes through all the different, either the way that is specifically, we'll keep repeating this, right? So there's the subjective form of Avodah Zarah, specifically to this individual Avodah Zarah. This is the way to serve this, or one of the four big ones, right? Slaughtering, bringing a burnt offering, bringing a libation, or bowing down. In all those cases, if he says, I'm going to do this, implicit join along with me, or I'm going and doing this with more, right, more terminology is saying now I'm going to do this instead of I'm serving this, or I am bowing to this, Avodah Zarah. In this case, he's saying, I'm going to bow, right? Or come and join me, and bow, any of those forms would be a form of mesis. Heisa shnayim harehin edav. So this is very important. If he is mesis to two individuals, let's say a person is foolish enough to go up to two individuals and to say to those individuals, the reason I say foolish enough, is obviously foolish enough to be a mesis in the first place, that is a major form of foolish, right? You have to, you know, go back to all of the Yisodei HaTorah and all of the other, right, and all the other halakhas that we've learned so far to recognize how foolish one has to be to go after an Avodah Zarah rather than to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Clearly, that's already a level of foolish, but there's even just a practical foolishness here, which is if you do it in front of two individuals, those two individuals are trying to convince two people, hey, come along with me, we're going to do Avodah Zarah, Nelech Menavo, right? Let's go do it. Guess what? Harehein Edav, they become his witnesses. Also, right? They become witnesses. They go to the Beis Din and they report him to the Beis Din. At that point, they get skila. So he's essentially walking into a trap, that situation. And when I say trap, I actually not even referring to a trap, because we're going to see in a second that the halakha is that you actually can trap him. Now, why? You're going to say, wait a second, you trap the person, and he just came to two individuals. What about the warning? We always say you need warning and witnesses. What about the warning? Next halacha, ein hemesis tzarech hasra. You don't need hasra. You don't need warnings when it comes to hemesis. Amr la'echad, who omer yeshli chaverim rotsim bekach, right? Umarim alav adshia yasis b'tnei shnayim kidei lahargo. Says the Rambam already, if it comes to only one person, the basis comes to one person, the person's like, oh my gosh, this guy is trying to convince me to do it for the Zohar, but I'm only one individual, there's no one else around, this is like a private affair, and that's typically probably what would have happened in a situation like this, because you're coming to someone who's a from Jew and trying to say to them, ah, come do over the Zohar, you're not going to do it publicly, you come do it privately. At that point, says Rambam, if you're only one person, then you recognize actually that wouldn't help anything, because I can't bring this person to Beis Din if I'm only one person. It doesn't work. I need two witnesses. So you know what you should do? Tell the person, you know, I actually have friends who I think would really appreciate this. Right? Bring them in front of a couple other friends, and at that point, they could be Aiden. So again, we're talking about trapping this individual. They don't need aswa. They don't need warning. So you just bring them in front of a couple other people and try to convince them to say it in front of others so that you could all go to Beis Din with that as testimony. Im lo ratza hamesis. Now, let's say he's practically intelligent, obviously, clearly still foolish for going along this way, and he doesn't want to go. But im lo ratza hamesis lehasis shnat l'shnayim. Mitzvah hachmin lo. So if he doesn't want to go in front of two people because he wants to be practically safe, so then you can be, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to what? Lahachmin lo. To go and trap him. What does that mean? Kol chayvei miso shevatora ein machminin lehem chutz mizeh. All the other forms of chayvei misos, all the other form of liability of death in the Torah, any other form of isser in the Torah, I could bring along death. We do not trap that individual. The person is going to do, chil Shabbos. Oh my gosh, I'm cutting down this tree on Shabbos. You got to see it, right? So a person's like, wait. I have some friends who want to see it also. Bring along the friends. He does it, and boom, right? They warn him, like, wait, maybe you shouldn't do this on Shabbos. And boom, he does it. Now the cat is, no, we don't do that in any other form of the Torah. We don't do that in any other Isser. When it comes to Mesis, because it's such a dangerous situation, you could literally cause other people to do Avodah Zarah. We do. We try. So how do we trap him? Hamusos maybe shnayim amidim b'makom eight afel kidei sheyiru hamesis veyishmua dvarav v'lo yira elsam. Right? Lo yira elsam. V'hu omer lemesis om. Okay, one second. So before we get to the way he says, so he brings two friends, right? Two individuals or two people that can be aidim, two witnesses, and he puts them basically somewhere hiding. And it's dark. They can see and hear everything, but the maces can't see or hear them. So v'hu omer lo. But then he says to them, and this is the last chance, basically. V'hu omer, and he says to the maces, emor masha marta libi yichud. Tell me what you said before in private. Right? Again, remind me again what you said. Again, he doesn't know that there are two individuals watching. V'hu omer lo, and he says to him exactly what it is. V'hamusas meshivo. Now this individual gives him one last chance. He tells him, Heich niniach es elokeinu shevashamayim v'neilat v'na'avon es ha'itzim v'asa'avonim. So you say, how can we serve the Ribono Shel Olam and go and serve these trees and these rocks? Im chazabo oshasot potter. Wow. If he's quiet in the situation, if he responds by being quiet, then he's off the hook. Right? If he retracts what he was saying, Chazerbo, or if he's quiet, he's not held liable at that point. Meaning he heard a response, the person says, give him a little pushback and he's already retracting, or if he was quiet, boom, he doesn't get punished. If he says, this is our obligation, it'll be so good for us to do this, then it's a successful trap, because he clearly is not only convinced that he should do Avodah Zarah, which already is a problem, but he's convinced that everybody else needs to do Avodah Zarah also. That's such a danger to society. So the halacha is that we trap the individual in front of two witnesses. Again, not doing anything to him that he wouldn't want to do on his own. Again, remember, we're even trying to push him away at this point at the end of the whole conversation. But if it doesn't work, and he's not backing down, so then we maintain that he gets skila in that situation. Good. Halacha dalet. Let's continue on. What happens? Mitzvah. Right, so what's the mitzvahs here? What are all the mitzvahs? So mitzvah v'yana musas lahar goshen emar yadchati above rishon lamiso. Right. So what's important is that the pasuk says that your hands, meaning the namely the person who's the musas, the person who's receiving the mesis's attempt. Right. He's trying to convince him. Oh, let me tell you how you should do a avodah zarah. It's going to be gishma. Come and do it with me. Right. And the person who's receiving that. Right. If he's receiving that information, he should be the person who does he should be killing him. He has to be the one to kill him. Your hand must be the first one against him to kill him. Even if he's like a family member, you can't love this individual. Right? So we're going through the psukim right now. You'll see all these psukim again, the same parak of Yimel, right? Don't love this individual, and you have to be the first one to kill him. Says the pasuk, when it comes to an enemy, you should help the individual, right? You should help that individual, even by an enemy. So you would have thought, oh, maybe I should help this person. No, don't even listen to this individual. Don't try to help them. And what else? Don't stand idly by when your brother's blood is basically going to destroy. This applies to a person who's drowning or a person that's being chased after by someone that's trying to kill them. Yochol, you would have thought, Iata Omer. You would have thought, oh, but I have to really be concerned about this individual's blood as well. No. Torah says, don't let your eyes pity this individual. Right? Don't be pitiful towards this person. Don't be concerned about this individual. Very, very important. So you might have thought, oh, I'm doing this guy a tova. No, it's a mesis. We don't do a tova to this mesis in this situation. And a person can't even try to, make an argument on this person's behalf. Don't have compassion toward this individual. If you know what's going to cause him to get incriminating evidence, you have information to say against this guy, don't be quiet. It's usur. Why? Don't try to cover him up. So where is the warning against the person being a mesis? The pasuk says, and everyone's going to hear and they're going to become afraid not to do such evil things. That's the warning. Don't do these evil things. You're going to become afraid to do these evil things. Says the Torah, you can't help this person. You can't love this person. You can't withhold evidence about this person. It's your obligation. These are all those mitzvahs we referred to in the beginning. These are all the mitzvahs when it comes to a mesis. If a person is going around in society trying to convince others to do avodah zarah, it is a special type of problem for us, and therefore we have a special type of way of dealing with this individual. And even though for our own enemies we would help them in situations where they need our help, not this person. And even though we would be very careful to make sure that someone who's drowning or whatever, or someone is being chased after them to get killed, we try to help them, not this person. Halacha, hey, what about Hamesis Achir in Ma'avdo, Gamar Lahem, Ivduni? So what about a Mesis that tries to say, serve me, right? Worship me, namely the Mesis himself. Im Avadu Niskav. If people actually serve him, then he gets skila, right? He gets skila at that point. V'im lo avdu, let's say no one serves him. Afal pisha kiblu imenu, even if they accept what he's saying, v'amruhein, and they say, hey, we'll do that, in your niskal, he doesn't get skila. He has to actually be served. Let's say he tries to convince someone to do avodah zarah, to serve another person. Or some other form of avodah zarah. If kibbutz menu, they accept from him. As soon as they say, yeah, we're going to go and do this avodah zarah, but even if they didn't do it, both of them get skila. Hamesis vehamusos, both parties, both the convincer and the convincee. Shneimar lo sovev lo velo sishmai lo. Ha'im shama gava chayiv. Right? If he, the pasuk says, don't be attracted to this individual, don't listen. So the pasuk says, as soon as the receiver is attracted or listening to what he has to say, then he's already chayiv at that point. And that's what we started off with. The mesis, and if someone's being mesis, someone else, no one actually does the zara. No one actually does it. They just accept this. They already have to be killed at that point right away. Good. We treat them liable. What about halacha vav? And now we're talking about a false prophets in general. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a navi, a prophet who prophesies in the name of a false god. What are we talking about? So we say, this avodah zarah told me that it's a mitzvah to do this or not to do this, right? Even if they're saying what the Torah is correct, and they're saying this is tameh and it actually is tameh according to the Torah, and this is Torah and it actually is Torah according to the Torah. In hitru bo v'fnei shnayim is a nechnak shenemar v'asher yidaber b'shem Elohim acherim u'meis anavi ahu. So now we're going to make this another category. It's not specifically a mesis. It says, even if he's talking in the name of another a form of an avodah zarah, even if it's the right halacha, as long as he got warned before and he gets killed through strangulation at that point. Okay? Because the Torah says, and it says, don't mention the name of other gods, and then halacha, right? So you always need an azhara and the punishment, right? The isser is and anyone who says this, that's the onesh. Umes and Yahu, they have to get killed. And where's the Azhara? Where's the warning not to do this? It says, lo taskiru, don't even mention the name of other gods. But also, so in this case, he's doing both. He's mentioning names of other gods through being a false prophet about them. Says the Rambam, it's usser to even make a discussion or to debate someone who prophesies in the name of what's called him. Just ignore this individual. You can't even get into conversation with this person, even to combat him. And don't even ask this person for an osu or a mofes. Don't ask them for a sign or a wonder. Remember what we talked about earlier in the halachos of the Nevi'im, that we don't even care about the, in general, the signs and the wonders are not so convincing, right? And especially if it's signs and wonders versus who? Versus Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Remember we talked about Moshe Rabbeinu had a different status of Nevuah because he went up to the right where he saw that he was actually accepted by the Baruch Shalom and encouraged to come to the Baruch Shalom himself. He didn't need, yes, he had the Osu Mofes when it came down to Mitzrayim, but afterward by Har Sinai, we see a totally different level. And so therefore, any single Navi that comes along and talks against what the Torah of Moshe is already, right? So their Osu and Mofes is going to compare to literally being accepted and welcomed by the Baruch Shalom's hands himself? Impossible. Impossible. So already we talked about that. But now this is another category. We're already talking about not only that as Stam is a false prophet, but here we're saying in the name of an avodah zarah, this person is coming and I have an oath, I am a mofes. So of course we don't listen to them, right? We don't think about what he did. We don't pay any attention to it. We call nechashiv osu shalom. If he simply thought about the following, that he thought about these wonders that he's doing, Shema Emasin, he's wondering, is this true or not? Over Belotase, already, even just thinking about this, is an Isser of Lotase. That's already a Lotase, Shemar Lotishmael, Debriya Naviyahu. Don't listen to what this guy's got to say. V'chein, Navi Sheker, Mitzasa V'chenek. And by the way, Sam, even a regular Navi Sheker, not a Navi that is coming to Mitzalev in the same name of Avodah Zarah, but a Sam Navi Sheker, it gets Chenek. Avapisha. Even if he's coming along in the name of Hashem, and he doesn't need to take away or add mitzvos. So now there's a second category. One category we're talking about is a Navi that's coming in the name of Avodah Zarah, and even if he's keeping to exactly the halachos, we still, he gets punished in that situation because the Torah says not to be a Navi in the name of Avodah Zarah. Obviously, clear that he didn't get that Nevuah. But what happens if he's a Navi Sheker Sam, just a regular Navi Sheker, and a Navi Sheker that's coming along and he doesn't even add a mitzvah or take away a mitzvah, but he's saying things that the Baruch Shalom didn't tell him to do it. The Pasuk says that already is a problem of a Navi Sheker. He has kind of from that alone. Now, what are we talking about? What are the cases? Right. So what are we talking about? A false prophet. What are the cases? So if he says things that he actually never actually saw in Nebuah, and he's claimed that was a Nebuah, that's one category of a false prophecy. Or, he heard already from another friend of his, that's already, he is a Navi. The Amr Shadavar is there, lo ne'emar, not lo with an aleph, but lo ne'emar with a vav. He says, that thing, he says it in his own name. I heard this Nevuah. Meaning, he knows this was a Nevuah. And it was in fact a Nevuah because his friend said it as a Nevuah and he's a Navi. But I'll take credit for that Nevuah. I'll say it. I'll go around spreading the word. In my own name. Not that my friend told me this, but I heard this. Both those cases would be executed with strangulation because, again, he didn't hear that Nevuah. Either he never actually heard the Nevuah and no one heard the Nevuah, or even if it's a Nevuah, it is a Nevuah, but it's not a Nevuah for him, and he claims it is a Nevuah for him, both those cases would be problematic. Good. Halacha Tes, anyone who holds back, right? So we actually talked about this in Halachas again about Nevuah, where why would one be concerned that you shouldn't get this person killed, the Navi Sheker? Because ultimately, if he got to the status of even being a Navi Sheker, we actually were willing to listen to him even a little bit, right? It's clear this person was a great person, right? Again, there are some qualifications you need to be in order to even get into the category of Navi to be able to even be listened to. So you might say, I gotta hold myself back. Anyone who does that and doesn't get this person killed, because of the greatness of this individual, we already said this. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be nervous. Don't be fearful of this individual because of the great stature of this individual. Again, remember, it has to be a great stature in order to be a Navi in general. So this person clearly is putting on a show that he's a great stature. Otherwise, no one would have listened to him in the first place. And if he holds back from making this person chayiv, or he's nervous about against saying things against the way he has to say, it's part of this category. One thing is very important. We only go to a base in Shivach, 71 people in the base tonight, right? In order to treat this individual, to basically put this person on judgment, right? Because ultimately, again, we said this is a very important person, so we have to be very careful, make sure that we're taking this very seriously. Halacha Yud. Let's close out. So now we're talking about vows and oaths. We'll get more into that, obviously, when we get to the halachas of those. But let's say someone makes a neder. They make a vow in the name of Avodah Zarah. Or they make a shruah in the name of Avodah Zarah. Gets malakos. You're not supposed to mention those names of the other gods. We saw already that that applied to a Navi that says in the name of another, but here, and we're talking about someone who does a Shvua or a Neder, also, same Pasuk, you can't mention the names of other gods, you know, these false gods, in the name of a Shvua. Either because he took the Shvua for himself, right, or he made the Shvua because a non-Jew made him make the Shvua, right, so he caused him to make the Shvua. You swear to me that you, on my Avodah Zarah, right, the non-Jew says, that you didn't steal my hammer yesterday. So yeah, he says it, right? That would be a form Yeah, it's the same exact thing. A Jew can't cause an avodah a non-Jew, right, who served avodah zarah to take an oath on his own avodah zarah. You can't say to him, don't swear on my God. I know you don't believe in my God. Swear on your own God that you didn't steal my property. Right? That would also be a problem. I feel the haskir shame of those who have him shalom derech shvua also the shneimar lo saskir. Even mentioning the name of a false god would be already a form of a problem already, because it's just a little skew, even not in the name of a shmuel, not for a shmuel. Lo yomer adam lechaveru shemor li betzad avodah zarah plonis v'chayot zibba. So don't use avodah zarah basically as location markers. Don't say, wait for me, when we get to that main street, there's going to be avodah zarah there on the corner, wait for me right by that avodah zarah. Don't do that. That's also. Right? Again, so we said before, you shouldn't mention any form of Avodah Zarah, except for, you're saying you're allowed to say the names of those that are actually in the Kisvei Kodesh in the Torah itself. What are the ones? Right? I mean, you mentioned a bunch of these already. Pa'or, right? Baal, Nevo, Gad. All those are going to be also the Grom Achirim she Yidru the Kaimu B'Shem Avodah Zarah. Again, same what we said about Shavuos for right swearing. Same thing. You can't make an oath in the name of an Avodah Zarah Kavim for sure not. And to close out, Ve'Eino Loke Ela Hanodel Bishma Umekayim Bishma V'Hu Anishba Bishma. So in all those cases, in all of these cases, and all these right, so the person who is liable for makos is only one who basically makes the shvua or makes the neder in the name of the avodas kohen. Yes, you're not supposed to cause other people to do it also, but the only time you get makos is if you yourself do it. So if you cause someone else to do it, you're not going to get makos for that. But if you yourself do it, cause someone else to do it, so then that's a form of that's an iser, but you're not going to get makos for that. Again, so we talked about a mesis in general today, and in addition to that, the halachos of a navi who comes in the name of Avodah Zarah, or a navi sheker in general, and what happens if you do a shvur or a neder in the name of an Avodah Kavim. Essentially, what we're saying is, you give any significance to Avodah Kavim, a prophet, or B, a shvur or a neder, or in the case of a mesis, someone's trying to convince you to go do Avodah Zarah. In all those cases, it's really an outgrowth for the same sukkim and dvarim, but also an outgrowth of kind of a similar concept of that of an eridachas. An eridachas, you need two specific person, right, people to go and try to convince everybody. Here, a mesis, even one individual going on one, right, talking one person. We talked about how we were able to track them. All the halakos within here, and we'll continue on with tomorrow with additional requirements and understanding of basically the Ov and the Yidomi. We'll get it to tomorrow, which we remember from the initial list of right, the dozens and dozens of halakos and mitzvahs that are going to be referred to in these prakim. So Ov and Yidomi is coming up next.